I speak to you in the name of God, who has made covenant with all the earth. Amen.
Amen.
So, with all the lamps put out, the moon sunk, and a thin rain drumming on the roof, a downpouring of immense darkness began. Nothing, it seemed, could survive the flood. The profusion of darkness, which creeping in at keyholes and crevices, stole round window blinds, came into bedrooms, swallowed up here a jug and basin, there a bowl of red and yellow dahlias, there the sharp edges and firm bulk of a chest of drawers. Not only was furniture confounded, but there was scarcely anything left of body and mind by which one could say, this is he or this is she. Sometimes a hand was raised as if to clutch something or ward off something, or somebody groaned or somebody laughed aloud as if sharing a joke with nothingness. That is Virginia Woolf describing the abandonment of a once cheerful holiday house after two deaths in the family that used to vacation there. But she might have had Noah in mind. We begin this Lenten journey to Easter in the dark chill, trying to survive the flood. And the church has given us Noah to watch, and the ark to follow, and obliteration to ponder, and a covenant to approach. Peter Baumann was a German army doctor who served on the Russian front in the Second World War. In his memoirs, he remembered the efficient SS killing units at Sevastopol. Dr. Baumann remembered the difficulty of objecting to the killing. We knew this. We did nothing. Anyone who had seriously protested or done anything against the killing unit would have been arrested within 24 hours and would have disappeared. The totalitarian state lets its opponents disappear in silent anonymity. It is certain that anyone who had dared suffer death rather than tolerate the crime would have sacrificed his life in vain. From another corner of the kingdom of darkness comes a similar testimony to the vanity of meaning and the terror of forgottenness. At the trial of Klaus Barbie, Elie Wiesel, survivor of the Holocaust, Elie Wiesel said, "The fact is that the enemy kills twice. The second time in trying to obliterate the traces of his crime. Even if you survive, even if you tell, no one will believe you," an SS officer told a young Jew. When terrible things happen, or hardship assaults us, we can persevere through almost anything if somebody notices. We can suffer pain and deprivation and great sacrifice if someone remembers. But what if they forget? What if our ashes scatter on the wind and we are reduced to numbers in a ledger? What if the rain never ends and the latch on the ark is never opened? This morning we heard the end of the story. The rain did stop and the water receded and the ark found a resting place and the earth was replenished. We have bathed in the spectrum of God's smile and been reassured of God's promise. I will set my bow in the cloud as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant. But that is the bright end of the story. Everything that precedes it is dreadful. A corrupt world, the promise of destruction, a clumsy houseboat, a floating zoo. Until finally, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the deep, great deep, burst forth, and the windows of the heavens were opened, and rain fell upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And the savage parody of creation began. all life on earth drowned, until only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark, and the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. Don't you wonder if Noah felt forgotten? Don't you wonder what Noah remembered about life before the rain? To this point, through the 7th chapter of Genesis, the story trembles and almost stops. Lent begins there, with Noah floating in watery chaos, Jesus wandering a dusty wilderness, and ordinary men and women afraid that their lives won't count and that their stories might be forgotten. But there's an 8th chapter of Genesis. There's an 8th chapter of Genesis, and it begins like this. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. Before Noah knew about it, God remembered Noah. Before the water began to recede and subside, God remembered Noah. In a flood of mercy and grace and love, God remembered Noah, and there was life. It's the simplest joy there is. The card on a birthday says, I remember you. The name uttered in prayer murmurs, I remember you. After years of collective agony, we dug a monument in the earth in Washington that told my generation of soldiers, we remember you. In a stunning and simple circle of marble in Mobile, Alabama, with water flowing over this marble, we said to the victims of the civil rights movement, struggle, we remember you. And God remembered Noah. And if God remembered Noah, God may remember you and me. And God may remember all those whom even we have forgotten. Next week, we will listen again to God's promises to Abraham. And we will remember how perilous and fragile the promise was. But in this season of Lent, we are allowed to hope that it is God's nature to remember. In 1966, Elie Wiesel went to Moscow to visit Soviet Jews. The Moscow synagogue was packed to hear the American visitor, to hear the words of Isaiah the prophet, comfort, comfort ye my people, says your God. After Wiesel spoke, an old man looked at him, and a kind of glimmer of recognition and lit up his wrinkled face. I remember you, he said, as he embraced. You have not forgotten us. But the most welcome guest, however, was a young boy called Elisha, who had come from the United States to make his bar mitzvah. The Moscow Jews could not stop admiring him, caressing his hair, kissing his hands longingly, as though he were a prince from far away, perhaps a stowaway on the ark. It had been so long since they had seen a young Jewish boy saying his prayers in their synagogue. When we come to the end of Lent, and we stand around the baptismal font on the holy night of Easter, there may be among us small boys awaiting their Easter bath. It would not be wrong for us to admire them, to caress their hair and kiss their hands. No, they will not be royalty from a faraway land. They will, however, be visitors from the ark. For they would not have come to that night of resurrection and to their baptism if God had not remembered them. Virginia Woolf cannot have the last word on this first Sunday in Lent. Noah survived the flood. So, it seems, have we. Amen.